One of my desires as a pastor is that each and every one of us would walk in God's power and plan for your life right now. God doesn't live in time and space. God is eternal. Everything in God's world is now. He doesn't have yesterday. He doesn't have tomorrow. He only has now. He sees everything. He's the beginning and the end. What does that look like in our life?
This is the Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, lead pastor of Revolution, a Foursquare church that meets in Harvard Square, Cambridge, Mass. Join us today as we step into the Now Principle with Pastor Chris, where we ask the question, what will you let God do right now?
There was a time, maybe even when I was a kid, certainly not long before that, where business people did not worry about contracts. They'd shake a hand. They'd say, I know who you are, you know who I am, let's make a deal. And they made a commitment, and it didn't matter what took place, they were good for that. But we live in a world today where people's word means nothing. People sign contracts made up by lawyers, and they break those all the time because people's word means nothing. And see, one of the things we have to determine is, will I be of this world or will I not be of this world? Will I do things the way God calls me to or the way the world calls me to? Because the world would look at that and say, well, that's crazy. Why would you ever tell anyone that you would obey whatever they tell you without knowing what it is? They go, that's crazy. Are you nuts? Well, not if you know who it is. Not if you know that the person truly loves you and has your best interest in mind. So we have to determine, will we be like Israel and say, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to hear, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to obey, no matter the cost. Because here's what the deal is. There will always be a cost. Obedience will always cost you. Sometimes it's just it costs us our will, what we want to do. My 2.5-year-old, if he's going to obey, it costs him something. He has to choose not to do what he wants to do. That's a cost. Sometimes it will cost you your reputation, or it will cost you financially. It will cost you emotionally. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read this. We're not going to get through all 10 verses today, but I'm going to break this down because this really solidifies this word, Shema. What does it mean to hear, to listen, to obey the voice of God? What does it mean that God has given us the word to direct us and guide us? Several years ago, God put something in my spirit, and it's one of the foundations of me as a pastor, is that I will be grounded in His Word and empowered by His Spirit. And when I come in here to pastor and to preach, that's the way I come at it. Someone once said, all Word, just preaching the Word of God, will cause people to dry up. All Spirit, just Holy Spirit, come do this and do this, but no Word, will cause people to blow up. But when the Word of God is preached, empowered by the Spirit of God, it will cause people to grow up. I want to be committed to His Word, grounded in His Word. But we want to be empowered by His Spirit to realize we can't do it without Him. We'll fail miserably. And if it's just the words on the page, they're dry, they're dead. Without the Spirit of God to bring revelation and truth, there are people that spend their lives studying the Bible and they don't even know Christ. What an abysmal life. I mean, go study any kind of literature. That's what they look at it. It's just a literature, a book of literature, a book of history. It's not the book of life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. This is the covenant that God made with Moses. When all these blessings and curses, and if you go back and read them, you can read there's a bunch of them. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart, you shema, you hear, listen, and obey Him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where He scattered you, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens. From there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. Verse 7, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all His commands that I've given you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as He delighted in your fathers. And then verse 10, if you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God set out both blessings and curses. But guess what? We get to decide the impact of those in our life. When you look back over the blessings and the curses from the Mosaic Covenant, there are many. But understand that something is only a curse if it ends there. When we realize, if I quoted it earlier, if Romans 8:28 is true, and if we have choose to walk in disobedience to God, and all of a sudden there are curses and things that fall upon us, because that's what it says, they will fall upon you. I don't know if you've ever been walking along and all of a sudden it feels like something just falls upon you. You're like, whoa, what happened? If you're walking in disobedience to God, He's trying to get your attention to bring you back. That's what we see throughout the Old Testament. What happened? Children of Israel, they turn away from God. They sin against God. Something happens. God causes some people to come to overtake them and to subjugate them. And then they cry out to God and God delivers them. They serve Him for a little while and then they go through it again, over and over again. Understand that God wants you to walk in obedience. Why? Because in obedience is blessing. Why? Because God knows more than we do. He sees more than we do. As a parent, I don't know everything, but I know a whole lot more than my 2.5-year-old. Why? Just because I've been through a lot of life. Now, he is convinced at times that he actually knows better than me. Now, any person would go, well, that's absurd. But yet, many times we look at God that way, don't we? God, who do you think you are? God, I mean, this is my life. You really think you know better than me? You really think, God, that you can figure this out better than me? Yeah. Because God sees a whole lot farther than we see. He knows a whole lot more than we know. So the question is, will we trust Him? If you know the story of Joseph, it says that he, when he's 18, 19 years old, he has this dream. He tells his brothers that all of his older brothers are one day going to bow down before him and basically worship him. Well, you can imagine that didn't really sit too well with him. So they end up selling their brother off into slavery. He gets sold into slavery. All these things happen. Then he gets in prison. And after 13 years, the very thing that God had showed him comes about. And next thing you know, he's second in command to Pharaoh over all of Egypt and basically over all the land. His brothers come to him after 13 years that they have sold him into slavery, all the things that have happened in his life. And they're coming and they're saying, we're sorry. And he makes this amazing statement. He says, don't worry about it, because he says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. See, this is the most amazing thing, is that when we walk in obedience, whatever happens in our life, God will use it for His glory in our life. Even the hardest things, even the worst things, even the things we don't understand. Because you look at that and you go, how could you possibly say that? I mean, there's something in me that would want revenge. It's like, man, I got him in the palm of my hand. Now I can do whatever I want to him. They don't even know who I am. But see, he understood
God's heart. He said, no. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Obey.
Shema his voice. Will we hear? Will we listen? Will we obey? Verse 2 in Deuteronomy 30 says, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul according to everything I command you today. Did you know that obeying God and loving God are the same thing? See, we like the verse and we know the verse that Jesus says, you know, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you have heard that one before? Most of us. Did you know that you could change where it says love and put in obey? Obey the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus said this in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Again, Matthew 22, greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And verse 40 says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Obeying God with all your heart and soul is the same thing as loving him with all your heart and soul. You can't love him if you don't obey him. You hear that? You can't say you love him if you don't obey him. Because he said they're one and the same. In fact, Jesus said, if you say you love me but you don't love one another, you're not even my disciple. Because the love of God's not in you. It's not enough to know God intellectually. We have to know him intimately. James chapter 2. I love James. James is so practical. I'm a pragmatist. That's kind of my life. Is what does it mean? I mean, when you leave here today, I want you to walk out of here with some sense of what it means to live your life tomorrow. To walk your Christian journey out tomorrow. And James said this in chapter 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. What he's saying is, if it was only about what we believe, then the demons could be saved. Because they believe. But it's not just what you believe, it's what you do. See, I can tell what you actually believe by what you do. You can tell me you believe in something, but if I don't actually see that played out in your life, guess what? You might say, I believe in eating healthy and staying fit. But if all I ever see you eating is junk food and never doing any exercise, guess what? I'm going to come to the conclusion, no, you really don't believe that. It's an idea, but you don't really believe that. Because what we believe is what we will do. Some of the scariest verses in the Bible to me are these verses in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 of Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation is on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This group of people, they had power but no relationship. They had no understanding. They had no foundation. He says, those that built their house on the rock are the ones that hear these words of mine and put them into practice. Shema. To hear. To listen. To obey. This is the foundation. If we don't get this, we're building our house on a bad foundation. I mean, Jesus made it clear. He's the one that, you know, told the story and then showed the analogy. Many of us have probably never even realized those two were right together. We hear the one all the time about building your house on the rock. We even know the song, you know, build your house on the rock, da-da-da-da-da. But it's based in this context. Putting into practice the things that Christ spoke. If you love me, you'll do what I say. I'm going to close just reading a couple more verses today. We're going to have communion here in a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, Paul wrote this. This was a lot of years ago. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen to verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What's a form of godliness? A form of godliness is trying to walk a Christian life without obedience. It's a superficial idea of being a Christian that doesn't actually walk in obedience to what God says. A form of godliness, but no power thereof. The group that Jesus was talking about there in Matthew 7. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, once again, it comes back to relationship. Knowing who Christ is and trusting Him so that when the Spirit speaks to us, we obey. The last verse I want to read today. This is Paul. Paul, the great apostle, persecutor of the church, radically saved when Jesus revealed himself, threw him off his donkey, blinded him for 3 days, called him into the ministry. He's writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he tells them this, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, but I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. As we talk about this foundation, as we're beginning a foundation to build on the now principle. How do we walk in the now, in the things that God has called you to now? See, some of us, we look at ourselves as being young and we go, well, when I get a bit older. God is not held back by your age. Not whether you're young and not whether you're old, or somewhere in between. Did you know that most of the disciples, in fact, they believe all of them except Peter, were under 18 years of age? See, we always think of them as being old men with beards. Jesus was only 30, and he's the rabbi. Rabbis didn't call other people in their 30s to follow them. Probably almost everyone in this room is older than most of the disciples were. So dismiss your age, dismiss your place in life, what you do or don't know. When we walk in obedience. See, that's what Paul was saying. When I came to you, I didn't come. Now we know Paul was very well educated. Paul had the best education you could get in that time period. So he was smart. He could have come speaking eloquently. He could have come with man's wisdom. But he says, that's not how I came to you. I came to you preaching Christ and Him crucified. Which if you go on and talks about in 1 Corinthians, he says, which is foolishness to me.
He says, but I came in demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that you would not be wowed by my wisdom, but you would be wowed by who God is.
See, when we walk the way that God has called us to, when we shema His voice, when we hear, listen, and obey, we'll see the power of God revealed in our life. Why? Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, when I go to be with the Father, He says, I'll send the Holy Spirit and you will do greater things than the things you see me doing. And what does Jesus say? I only do what the Father tells me. I only say what the Father tells me to say. So we are supposed to walk the same way in obedience, hearing, listening, and obeying. And He says, in that place, the power of God will be revealed in and through your life. You go, well, me? Why not? See, it's not about us. It's about God. But if we don't walk in obedience, James tells us, he said, if we're a double-minded man, we're unstable in all ways, and that man or woman should not think they'll receive anything from the Lord. What does that mean? It means you can't walk in disobedience and pray for God's blessing. Well, you can, but it's not going to happen. This is a crazy prayer. See, square one is obedience. And we all understand that. I mean, if you have parents like I had parents, I didn't do the wrong thing and get the right thing. It never worked that way. When I was obedient, I saw the blessings. When I was disobedient, well, I didn't see the blessings. Not because they were cruel, because they understood the same thing, is that God loves you and knows you and has an amazing plan for your life. But you will not see that if you don't choose to shema, to hear, to listen, and to obey. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment? To say we're gonna have communion here momentarily, but before we do, I wanna ask a very simple question. People's eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Is there anyone that maybe today you're hearing that and you go, wow, my house is not built on the foundation you're talking about. I haven't chose to submit my life to Christ and to His plan for my life. My house is built on a really sandy foundation. But I want it to be built on a rock, Jesus Christ. Is there anybody that would raise their hand today and say, yeah, that's me. I want to make that decision. I want Christ to be the foundation of my life. Where my house is built on. I want to choose to hear, to listen, and to obey Christ in my life. Anyone else? I want us to pray right now as this person does that, acknowledges Christ as the Lord of their life. Would you pray with them? Lord Jesus. Repeat it after me with them. Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me. For dying for me. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Give me a new heart. Your heart. You'll be the foundation of my life. And I will choose to submit to you. To walk in obedience. To hear. To listen. And to obey. That I'll be able to love the way you love me. To give the way you give to me.
In your name, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to The Now Principle with Pastor Chris Gleason, the radio ministry of Revolution Church, where we are committed to being grounded in His Word and empowered by His Spirit. We invite you to visit us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. We meet at Lesley University's Brattle Campus in the Washburn Lounge, located at 10 Phillips Place, Cambridge, Mass. If you would like prayer or more information, call 617-441-0777 or visit hearlistenobey.com. This is a listener-supported program, and if you would like to partner with us, we invite you to go to hearlistenobey.com as we stand for God's Word and God's Spirit in Harvard Square.